Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Fantastic local business owned by fantastic gal. If you aren't familiar with ABC Books on North Glenstone, it's just south of Kearney, and they make it possible for us to do an Author of the Week every week. They have an Author of the Week section, and we have that digital section as well. If you go to ksgf.com and you look at mornings with or on demand, and there'll be my show, and that'll open up a number of options, one of which is Author of the Week, and we have archived these interviews and information about the books. Great resource for you. You finish something up, and you're thinking, I don't know what to read next. Instead of going on the internet, Facebook, and asking random people, I just finished this book. What should I read next? You can go through, see the books, listen to author interviews, and that can help give you a sense of what you might want to delve into. We've got Tevi Troy with us as our Author of the Week today, Washington Post best-selling presidential historian and former senior White House aide. The book is Fight House, Rivalries in the White House, From Truman to Trump. Thank you for being with us this morning. And this is, it seems like a bit of a hybrid of gossip, but important stuff at the same time. I mean, these are people that have the president's ear. These are people that can cause problems. You know, you can have these rivalries. And of course, there is that whole idea that we heard in the run-up to the Obama administration about rivals and reflecting on Lincoln. Well, first, what made you write the book? And then why started Truman?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me to talk about Fight House, and I'm really flattered and honored to be Author of the Week. Thank you for that. I wanted to write this book because, as you said, I am a presidential historian. I've written three other books about the presidency before Fight House, and I worked in the White House, and I heard all this stuff about fighting in the White House recently, and I wondered if anybody had ever covered the subject in the modern presidency, and I did some research, and I found that no one had, so I decided to write the book myself, and the reason I start with Truman is because there wasn't really a White House staff in earlier eras, even in the Doris Kearns Goodwin book, which is talking about rivalries among the cabinet. So the White House staff comes about in the 1930s with something called the Brownlow Commission that determined that the president needed more help. And so Truman is the first president to enter with a White House staff. And the White House staff brings with it all kinds of tensions and rivalries and questions about who's in charge, the cabinet member or White House staff member, and then as White House staff members become famous, that leads to relationships with the press and jealousies. And so it's just kind of a toxic mix of alpha males and now alpha females in a high-stakes, high-pressure environment with very great issues of national import on the line.
It seems, particularly in the last several years, that the unstable factor, perhaps with all of the fighting, is at an all-time high. How much of that is just because there's greater transparency now? I mean, you didn't have the internet, you didn't have tweeting, you didn't have all this stuff, you know, Truman and several administrations, obviously, after that. So how much, I mean, in other words, has it always been relatively peaceful? It just got nasty. Has it been this nasty in the past? We just didn't know it because of the way the press covered things and the inability of people to tweet out information. And then also, how much has the advent of social media made the problem worse?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that, because in my book, I have a line from Reagan speechwriter Peter Robinson, who said, of course there was fighting in the Reagan White House. There was just not Twitter, tweeter, twatter to talk about it. Yeah. And so one of the things I try and do in Fight House is to try and show how much fighting was in previous administrations. And I even acknowledge in the book that because there was less media coverage of this stuff in the past, some of the fights may have been lost to history, right? If aide A and aide B in the Eisenhower administration didn't like each other, but they didn't go tweet about it or tell the New York Times about it, then we may never know that it happened. So in this book, I really try and go into the archives and the oral histories and historical accounts and see and to try and hoover up all the information we have about fighting in the White House. And obviously, the closer you get to the present, the more you have from journalistic accounts. But the further back you go, the more the archives are open and the more the oral histories are available to tell what the people who were there really thought was going on at the time.
We're talking with our Author of the Week, Tevi Troy. The book is Fight House, Rivalries in the White House, From Truman to Trump. If you would, give us an example of a fight in the White House that if it had happened today, we probably would have known about it, and it would have been a really, really big deal and maybe even changed the course of things.
Oh, yeah. I've got a great example. In the Truman administration, you had George Marshall was the Secretary of State, and he was adamantly opposed to the recognition of Israel. Kind of shocking today, given that the U.S. and Israel are such staunch allies. Clark Clifford was a relatively junior White House aide at the time who was in favor of it and was asked by Truman to make the case in front of Truman and Marshall for recognizing Israel. They had this actual argument inside the White House in front of Truman in an argument that Truman later described as rough as a cob. And at the end of it, Clifford wins the day, and Marshall is so mad to lose that he never again speaks to Clifford or utters his name for the rest of his life. Now, getting to the premise of your question, if that had happened today, I think we would have had newspaper accounts, and maybe there would have been some outrage that the Secretary of State lost a fight to a junior White House aide, and maybe the U.S. wouldn't have recognized Israel if that had come out in the papers at the time.
Even with the understanding that the Trump administration, I think, is a different one, and you've got this, maybe it's a cliche, I don't know, or maybe it's, you know, just not as accurate as one might think, that you've got Trump, he comes in, he's an outsider, and there are a lot of holdovers that almost see him as a visitor, and they're the permanent ones that just have to deal with him, and so there's a lot of conflict there. But, I mean, do we get an inflated sense of the disarray because of the fact that so many of these past administrations had the ability to keep things more quiet regarding that, you know, that disarray? I mean, is it as more profound today than it was always in the past?
Well, I think a nice contrast is between, let's say, this administration and the previous administration, the Obama administration. Obama recognized that tales of disarray in previous Democratic campaigns and administrations had harmed them. And he put out this narrative of no drama Obama, and he put out certain rules to make it harder to have fighting and easier for people to get along, and made it clear that he would be unhappy with people fighting. That doesn't mean there was no fighting in the Obama administration. In fact, in Fight House, I lay out a whole bunch of fights that happened inside the White House during Obama. However, they were really good at controlling this narrative. And even today, you talk to former Obama staffers, and they all say, oh, we got along, we got along, we got along. But the historical record that I show in Fight House, and that was not available during the time of the Obama administration, shows a slightly different story.
Does the Trump administration get an unfair characterization in all of this? I mean, I still do get the sense, for a number of different reasons, that things are a little more disrupted oftentimes, just for a whole litany of reasons during the Trump administration. But, you know, you read a book like yours and you get this sense that it wasn't the way that it has always appeared, where everyone for the most part got along really well. And then Trump comes along and this is a totally different thing. And while there are obviously differences, is it unfair, the characterization that the Trump administration has gotten, that it's as extreme as it appears compared to what past presidents have dealt with?
It's hard for me to say this because you're trained not to say this when you're in these interviews, but I don't know. And the truth is, we don't know the full story about the Trump administration. And I make it very clear in Fight House that while I list a bunch of journalistic accounts of certain fights, we don't really know the true story. And we won't know the true story until the archives open up and we have access to the oral histories. And so with the Bush administration, Bush 43, the one in which I served, those oral histories didn't come online until 2019, which means that for Trump, it would be 2031 or 2035, depending on what happens in the next election. So we know that there's been fighting in previous administrations. We know that there's some degree of fighting in this White House, and it does seem pronounced in that the media are covering it. But we just don't really know what's going on until we have more information. And so, yes, I think the premise of Fight House is that there's fighting in every administration. I try and do some ranking towards the end of which administrations had more fighting and which had less fighting and which tried to address it in my appendix. But we can't really address and assess an administration in real time while it's happening.
Well, and there is, of course, a lot of this is opinion, but there's a sliding scale. I suppose, arguably, one does not want to be surrounded by yes men, if you will, where everyone gets along and there aren't any questions. But there does come a point in which it becomes counterproductive, where there's so much disagreement that you can run counter to what your goals are. And you know, then there's that middle area. And so I don't know, I guess it is a matter of opinion to some degree, but perhaps there are some extreme examples that pretty much everyone could settle on that it's counterproductive either which way, either a bunch of yes men or a bunch of people in total disarray that are out looking for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you raised it that way, because there is this notion of a continuum. On one side is groupthink, everybody gets along, but nobody challenges the conventional wisdom. And sometimes that leads to bad results. In Vietnam, Lyndon Johnson didn't want to hear any opposing opinions, so much so that there was even a group of aides at the State Department who were questioning the approach, and they called themselves the non-group and had secret meetings because they didn't want Johnson to find out about it because of the potential repercussions against them. On the other hand, on the other side of the continuum, is it you have dysfunction and chaos, where people can't have private conversations without them being immediately leaked to the press. People don't trust one another, and people won't give their full and honest assessments to the president because they don't trust their colleagues. And somewhere between those two is a happy medium, and the happy medium can be in a different place for different presidents depending on what they want. So I lay out in Fight House three levers that a president has to control or limit infighting if they so choose, and that if they so choose is an important disclaimer, because some presidents want to see a little more of it, and some presidents want to see a little less.
Our author of the week, Tevi Troy, Fight House Rivalries in the White House from Truman to Trump. Finally, was there any one particular story that you learned of that you found to be the most interesting or surprising or shocking?
Yes. Well, first of all, as a presidential historian who's been saying this my whole life, some of these stories I came up with, I had no idea. I think they'll be eye-opening to your readers and listeners as well. But one story that propped up was in the Reagan administration when James Baker and Michael Deaver didn't much like Al Haig, who was the Secretary of State, and they tried to keep him away from presidential motorcades, from Air Force One, from Marine One. Haig complains about the guerrillas in the White House who are out to get him. And Mike Deaver, 42-year-old Deputy Chief of Staff, who hears about this, dresses up in a gorilla costume to make fun of Haig inside the White House. And that's not the only gorilla mention in Fight House. In fact, gorillas came up so often, including other times where they dressed up as gorillas, that I had a gorilla entry put in the index of Fight House. So you get the book and you can find them all.
Tevi Troy, it is Fight House Rivalries in the White House from Truman to Trump, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. Thank you. I really appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thanks so much.
And like, again, all of our Author of the Week books, you can see the archived section at ksgf.com and the physical section they have at ABC Books. And if for whatever reason they run low or out of any of the books or any others that you're looking for, they can, of course, get those for you with no problem at all. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed.